listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Monday. Football off the weekend. We're here to recap it. 200 stations coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. What a team we got with us. The wise guys, the pros who know, Steve Fezzik and Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start in the NFL, and it was bad news yesterday for the New Orleans Saints, who lost in L.A. to the Rams 27-9. But the big story out of that is Drew Brees, who is expected to miss at least 6 weeks with a torn ligament in his thumb.
Yeah, and let's start with this. I think 6 weeks is optimistic. And though, Fez, you're the MD at the table... History indicates, I did a little reading this morning, and there's a new procedure in which, and again, this is very, very rudimentary level, but the tape or the element that holds together the bone, the ligament, etc., actually decomposes into the injury, and supposedly much more stability and quicker recovery time. Otherwise, this is a 10-12 week injury. So on one hand, if you're looking at the Saints season, I think the starting point here is 6 weeks would not even have been a consideration 5 years ago, that this has been an innovation. It could work very well, but I think that is the most optimistic. And why does that matter? Well, I think the Saints know that. So the way that they approach Bridgewater as the quarterback will somewhat be dictated by when they think that Brees is coming back. And really, is he going to be back at what percent? And Fez, let's start there. Because we're going to ultimately, the most important point we could have from the Vegas perspective is how much of a downgrade is this? So before we can talk about that, it's all relative. It's from one quarterback to the other. Before we get into Bridgewater, how did you rate Brees entering this game, understanding that a lot of the narrative, and Colin has been front and center with this right here on FSR, is after Thanksgiving, Saints just weren't that good on offense. And you can quote various numbers that seem to back that up. Some of the analytics numbers, the advanced ones, were more positive to Brees post Thanksgiving last year. Now, we've also speculated, oh, maybe it was just arm fatigue. As you get older, these late 30 quarterbacks into their 40s now, they tend to drop off as the season progresses, as the little injuries pile up. You said in week one, oh, man, he looked sharp. And so the assumption was Brees was tired or injured in a way we didn't know about at the end of the last year, but it was all better, and he looked mighty good. So first of all, is that a fair representation of your take on game one, that Monday night game?
Very much.
All right. So now then, last season, do you just kind of explain it away for Brees, or do you accept we don't know why, but the one game this year convinced you, or how do you balance that?
Yeah, so the balance is, and there was some talk that on a interception he threw, he was trying to make the tackle, and that might have been the play where he banged up his shoulder and he wasn't quite the same at the end of last year.
And that was during the Thanksgiving game, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so potential injury that didn't make the injury report. Oh, imagine that, right? We've talked about that. There's millions of dollars being bet on these games. Having inside information, which effectively you inevitably will if you don't give the information to everyone freely. I don't think that helps anyone except those with the inside info. And since I usually don't have it, I'd rather just all the info be out there. Not to mention to you, the audience. Yeah, it's better for you. So how much of a downgrade?
So it's a 6-point downgrade to go to Bridgewater.
Now that is humongous. Now let's think about this. I think that you would be on the far end amongst all. Brad, you're not.
I agree.
If you just had college is your specialty, but yep. You certainly follow the NFL, what would your number be?
4.5 is what came to my mind.
All right. So we're talking about 2 points, a point and a half or so of dispute.
Fez? What's interesting, there's one other online sports book that put out their numbers. They also had 6.
So when you say one other, is that like the Fezzik sports book was the first? And yeah. Then there was another? you'd probably be charging 130 each way. I mean, no one wants any I mean, Jonas would have no chance there. So you said one other. Let's say someone taking bets, actually.
Yes.
And what was the adjustment?
They made it 6 as well.
Well, first of all, how do you... Are you saying they did some kind of PR release?
Yeah, they tweeted
it.
Oh,
forget that. Yeah. I mean, let's look at the look-ahead line for the Saints. Let's caveat this. Some books, at least one in Vegas, others offshore, will put up a line a week ahead of time. And what will happen is that the only real difference between... You know what's hilarious? Is Fezzik right now... He has like 6 sheets of paper in front of him. He picked up every one, but didn't even look at it and just set it down. It was almost like he was supposed to. I don't know if you guys have ever done like a pre-roll taping where they're going to do some type of segment or whatever. And they say, walk into the office, sit down and answer your phone. Fez looked like he was trying to act like he was on a radio show. I mean, you got it, Fez?
I got it.
Okay. What were you doing when you were just picking up the paper and setting it down?
I picked up week 2 instead of week 3.
Yeah, but you didn't even really look as much.
Yeah, I realized it was the wrong way.
All right, so what were the lines? But let's caveat it. The liquidity, the amount they take on these early bets, not as much. So the line could be wrong. So we take this as a one data point. But how much Saints next game?
Yeah, so Saints are at Seattle. The look-ahead line was Seattle -1. Mm-hmm. Now the line is Seattle -5.5. There's been a 4.5-point adjustment, so more towards what you expected than my 6-point number.
Don't give Brad any credit. I like that.
Yeah.
That's Brad Powers. That's Steve Fezzik giving no credit to Brad. I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. I think that sounds right. And really, that's going through the key number of 3, not going through 0. It might be 4. Here's the thing. I think Breeze at his best, Breeze as he seemed to play in the first game, 6 is probably the right number. I think the uncertainty with Breeze, you might even think 4 is getting to be too little. I think that, you know, maybe it's somewhere in between, but I believe Bridgewater way overrated. So what I want to do is I want to look at Bridgewater and the Steelers backup at the same time. We'll do that at the start of the next segment. So what I would say is we've established you believe that Breeze is worth upwards of 6 points. The market is more, and again, imperfect, the market, because the first number was from a couple $1,000 bets instead of $100,000 on Sunday. And obviously, if a bookie's taking $100,000, they are much more confident in their number than the guys that had it up early. But that's a good starting point, no doubt about it. And they were playing again, because there might be an adjustment on the other team. So they play who?
Seattle. Seattle looked good.
Yes, did they?
Yeah.
I don't think they did. I think Pittsburgh just looked that bad, especially without Big Ben. But you know something? It's almost like we planned it, because there's another big injury.
Yeah, speaking of injuries and speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, your Pittsburgh Steelers, RJ, are going to have to play the rest of the season without Ben Roethlisberger. He is going to undergo season-ending right elbow surgery, so no Big Ben for the remainder of the season for Pittsburgh.
You know, Big Ben was like that trust fund. Anyone that went to college or even in high school, you got that friend, or maybe not a friend, like in a John Hughes movie where there's that rivalry of the rich kid with the shoulder pad. Well, that's the 80s, right? With the jacket, the haircut. And what happens? That kid makes a lot of mistakes. And then his parents buy him out, bail him out. Money saves the day. Well, Big Ben was the bailout. We can say good things about Tomlin. We can say bad things. I think there's both are reasonable. But what we know is this team, after 2010, where they lost to Green Bay in the Super Bowl, have had zero Super Bowl appearances. And to have an all-time quarterback, some would say, I'm not sure it's wrong, that Big Ben's the third best quarterback of the century. I mean, I think after Manning and Brady, I'm really, really, really probably going to debate. I mean, we can talk about Breeze, but just didn't feel like Breeze played in many big games. If Sean Payton is as good as everyone seems to think, and Fez, you got him number two on your list,
I
right?
I do.
The mythical coaching list. If he's that good and Breeze is that good, I mean, I'm just thinking back. They made the one Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Won it. Give him a ton of credit. I mean, winning one is great. But if you're in this conversation, you're going to have won a Super Bowl probably, right? So one is about the minimum to be in the – I mean, we're not talking about the Chargers quarterback. We're not talking about – even though you could say, well, you know, Rivers is almost as good. No, he's not, all right? Because how many Super Bowls? And I get it. That feels – like, oh, you're counting team wins. It's a team game. Quarterback is the most important position. In any 1 year, even 5 years, I can say it's random. In a career, you better win something if you want to be in that first conversation. Now, Dan Marino, who at a certain time I believed was the most talented, best quarterback I've ever seen, just couldn't do it. And is that part of him on the field? Maybe. Is that part of him as a leader? I don't know. Maybe. But you add it all up. You're paying someone for wins, ultimately. And I look at Breeze and say, I mean, did they even have a championship? I guess it would have been last year. And then prior to that, they lost on the Minnesota Miracle. Boy, were they in the championship game any other years that we can think of?
2006 against the Bears.
Okay, but that was that the Super Bowl year or
that,
not?
That was 2 or 3 years before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was their first one.
All right, so we're talking about two championship or three championship games in his career in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. So I'm not saying Breeze isn't great, but he feels like one of the stats guys. Now, who else is even in the conversation? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Because we're not scouting. This isn't a scouting report. This is wins. I don't even think it's a conversation. Most talented quarterback? Maybe.
Russell Wilson.
What? Seriously?
He's in the conversation.
As one, the third, as after Brady.
He's in the conversation with Breeze.
You mean if someone's drunk after nine beers, maybe? First of all, his career's not, I mean, who knows? He could be. But to say that his accomplishments now or anywhere near that. Listen, again, I know you've got a special thing for Russell Wilson. Where's he at on your quarterback list?
Number two.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's just a bias that doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to challenge you. So you take off Tuesdays for handicapping day, which pays off for us, for you. You've got to carve out an hour. And I want you to come in, you know, the hours of your prep. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes on Wednesday to make the case that Russell Wilson could be it's worth a conversation. We're going to let you have it on national radio. You don't even have to answer now. Just nod. And then on Wednesday, take your comeuppance. When we come back, we are going to talk about those backup quarterbacks. I've got some numbers that's going to really lend insight on the Steelers side and the Saints side. And Fezzik is going to share how he felt when he lost his most painful bet of the weekend.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will give you the Vegas perspective on two replacements at quarterback.
Yeah, big, big replacements for very pedigree teams. Thanks for joining us. Each weekday, you can listen on 200 Fox Sports Radio stations, foxsportsradio.com, the iHeartRadio app, Sirius, and on demand with our podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now in Las Vegas on the Strip, it's 95 degrees and the neon is coursing.
So RJ, as we mentioned last segment here on Straight Outta Vegas, Drew Brees is out for at least 6 weeks. He's going to have surgery to repair a torn ligament in his thumb. With that being said, Teddy Bridgewater, the former draft pick of the Minnesota Vikings, takes over as the quarterback there in New Orleans. So what is the Vegas perspective on Teddy B taking over in New Orleans?
Well, my perspective, the Vegas perspective, once again, is about a 5-point adjustment. Fez, you're a little bit higher on it, about a 5-point adjustment, downgrade from Breeze, an all-timer, to Bridgewater. I think Breeze might be a little overrated at this point, and we've debated it. He looked good in game one, didn't look good at the end of last year. Advanced analytics guys say he actually looked okay at the end of last year. The counting stats say otherwise. This is why it's not easy, right? For you guys with a straight job saying, you know, I would love it to be on the radio talking, betting. Imagine those Sundays, man. I'd close my eyes. I'd be so happy at the end of that weekend. Yeah, I hear you. But when you go, Fez, what's the, just no long story, but what's the worst streak you've had since you moved to Vegas?
2-13.
So at one point you were 2-13. So what percentage of your bankroll did you give away?
24%.
24%. So, you know, whatever you – did you have to, any mansion and yacht concerns? Did you have the mansion and the yacht?
Yes, but I had to eat at Arby's that week.
Yes, but do you not also hold a day job, paying job, a square job?
Sometimes those square jobs help you sleep at night. I think Bridgewater is way overrated. Now, let's think about this. He was a starting quarterback, a lot of potential in Minnesota, and he was a team guy. I mean, oh, think about when he got hurt, the emotions the Vikings had. And on one hand, that's a positive. On the other hand, he was hurt so bad in 16 that if the doctors hadn't handled it right, they said his leg might have had to be amputated. That's a pretty bad injury, especially in a modern era. Now, in 2017, did not play in the preseason. Around midseason, he came back as a backup, and he attempted 3 passes the whole season. Nothing to take from 17, really. In 18, you might recall, with the Jets in the preseason, had a great preseason. So good, the Saints traded for him. And it was a third-round pick, if I recall. So now the only data points we have since Bridgewater was injured is a great preseason, up through 18 now. Let's stick to that. Now, in the regular season, he had one start. I remember it very painfully. And maybe I'm being a little biased because the last game of the season, we were in the Super Contest, competing for the $640,000 prize. We had been like 67% up through 2 weeks to go. That's 5 picks a week, Fed. Not easy. He says wearily. And the Saints, I remember, I'm just going by memory, were 7-point favorites in that game. And I'm like, well, Bridgewater, I know that they're grooming him. That Sean Payton's supposed to be really good on Fez's mythical list of coaches. I bet he's up there somewhere, right? I didn't know he was number 2. And then Bridgewater, this is like a game to establish, hey, buddy, we're on our way. Breeze is going to retire. Horrible.
Blown out as a favorite.
I mean, they were a 7-point favorite. He was 14 of 22 for 118 yards. Is that a quarter? No, that's the whole game. And they were down. I mean, obviously they weren't throwing downfield. And all right, that's one game. We could say, all right. But when it's your only real regular season game since you've been injured, starts to be a little more meaningful. But it is only one game. Now you go into 19, and what we got is the preseason. Well, he killed the preseason a while back, right? Well, he was average. So 43 of 70, 400 yards on 70 attempts, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But here's the key. Yards per attempt. So, Fez, what is – that's a great stat. It's one of your advanced analytics, some dedicated listeners might recall. What is the average yards per attempt?
You know, it escapes me. I don't have it in front of me.
Well, we'll pull that up. And this 5.5 – or, I'm sorry, 5.7 in the preseason – is well below average. So we'll get the exact number. But here maybe is even more important. It's a 2.6 yards per attempt decrease since the 18 preseason. So this most recent preseason, every time he snapped the ball and passed, he gained 2.6 yards less on average than just the preseason before. Now, what's changed? Well, sometimes with injuries, especially really bad ones, as you get older, you know, oh, I got a bad knee, you know, that kind of stuff. It's raining in 10 minutes. Now, again, this is a professional athlete, but it was a bad injury. Could it be that? I don't know. I know that the Dolphins wanted to make Bridgewater their starter, and instead he decided to sign with the Saints to not start. So you got to wonder if he really thought he wasn't physically able. Now, that's the question. What would he do? Fez, you'd sign the contract and come in and go, oh, I think I took a bad hit, right? Some people, right? Others would say, oh, man, I can't take that money because they think I'm ready to go and I'm not. I don't know, right? I know what you would do, right? Fez?
Take the money.
Yeah. That, if you ever wonder what Fez is going to do, it's take the money, right? Bridgewater, who knows? Now, what was that yards per attempt average?
Average is 7.5. Worst in the NFL last year, RJ, was Josh Rosen, 5.8.
All right, so think about that. Is in the preseason when Bridgewater was sometimes with the starters, sometimes not. Brees didn't have a lot of snaps. He averaged worse than the worst from the regular season last year, Josh Rosen, who people are starting to say with a sneer, like he might not be in the league for very much longer. So I don't know, but I can tell you this. If you talk to the normal talk radio guys, they're going to tell you Bridgewater, one of the best backups in the league. Could be a starter. Maybe he's the 24th best quarterback. I don't see anything to account for that. So, Fez, maybe you are right because you were wrong twice. Right? But if you're wrong in the same direction, or I guess in opposite direction, I think you thought Breeze was too valuable, right? But you also thought Bridgewater was too valuable. So if you in both directions now, the range is probably about right, you know? I don't know. Trying to help you out.
I appreciate the old broken clock being right twice a day, right?
Does those Bridgewater numbers surprise you?
It does surprise me. You know, that week 17, obviously, that was painful for both of us.
And well, but I'm saying if there's any time that you've got a backup in waiting, you're going to take that spot, that mop-up start, that spot start very seriously.
Absolutely.
So what are we – your voice is trying to say something. You're trying to say, well, we took it seriously. Like, what are you trying to say?
I agree with you that Bridgewater is overrated by the national media, and he's not one of the best backup quarterbacks out there.
I don't know if he should even be a – I mean, what I'm saying is based on the data – if you count last season and this season, regular season and this season's preseason, and if you look at finally, how did he do when he got in the game? 17 of 30, 5.5 yards per attempt. So that also would be the worst yards per attempt based on last year's number in the NFL. He actually got worse from the preseason.
And an inability to even score one touchdown despite getting blown out in the second half.
Which is when they're in, you know, in theory, the prevent.
Right.
Pretty good, Fez. That's Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. And I think for the Saints, we know what the market says about five. I'm looking to fade them. I'm looking to fade them probably early. This is not going to escape the syndicates. I might, you know, tomorrow, Brad, you've got your Tuesday early line mover.
Yep.
Fez has his Wednesday. I'm going to jump on Tuesday tomorrow and maybe do a play. Maybe.
RJ, from one backup turned starter in the NFC to another in the AFC, Mason Rudolph now takes over for Ben Roethlisberger, who is out for the year in Pittsburgh.
And once again, Fez, what is the adjustment?
6-point adjustment for this as well.
I think that might be questionable, and here's why. Big Ben last year, no doubt. If you look at it, it looked like something was wrong with his, and again, it's easy in hindsight. His arm didn't look right against the Pats. arm didn't look right at the beginning of this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree that Ben was playing really, really poorly before the injury. So I think I had him overrated going into this game.
But except maybe there was an injury that we didn't, something we didn't know.
Right, right. He did not look right before he left
the game. So I think Big Ben, what we thought he was going to be entering the season, a major adjustment of 6 points makes sense down to Rudolph. By the way, how many quarterbacks are 6 points or more in your mind with their backups?
8 of them.
Really? Name that list. That's a big list.
Yeah, we got Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, Brady. I had Breeze, Big Ben, Ryan, and Wentz.
Okay, Ryan. I think Ryan maybe not. How bad's the backup in Atlanta?
Matt Schwabe's horrendous.
Oh, that's true. It's not 2012. All right, so that I agree with you there. That's a good list. Now, Rudolph, I'm going to make this quick. In college, back to yards per attempt, he threw down field. In fact, better number, bigger number in yards per attempt than anyone drafted his season. So that's a good sign in the NFL, because if you're checked down in college, you can forget about it. Also, Steelers traded up. Only 3 slots, but they had their eye on this guy. So that's at least a sign of optimism. Remember, and again, Lamar's had a great start to the season, Jackson, but Baltimore traded back in that draft, and they had, I can't remember if it was multiple picks or they traded back, but they could have taken him and they didn't in the 20s.
Yep.
You remember that?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm not saying anything other than you can tell how optimistic a team is by how aggressive they are drafting, but you can be optimistic and be wrong and vice versa, right? So now James Washington played with him at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
So fantasy players, we don't often do this, probably going to be comfortable with each other.
Yep.
So, but what are you laughing at?
Because I have James Washington on my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah. And you shouldn't be laughing. You should be cheering.
Well, I'm not, because I'm not comfortable with what I saw yesterday. So.
Oh, I guess you'd rather have Big Ben no matter what. All right, I hear you. I'm not a fantasy guy. And last point. He won the job with the number 2. They had drafted Dobbs earlier, prior seasons, I think 2 seasons prior, and he beat him out. So as much as I think, and Fez, you made this point in your notes, the backup quarterback is now thin, but Pittsburgh chose to have Rudolph. They chose. Now, let's be candid. What were the odds of Big Ben missing major time this year? Maybe they thought Rudolph had more upside. But is he better now? You got to wonder if Dobbs were there now, who would be starting? Last thing, and this came from the herd. And, I'm having a mental block. The news lady.
Joy Taylor.
Yep. I actually used to do radio with Joy in Miami about 3 or 4 years, or right before she got to Colin. Great person, as far as I can tell. She said something in passing that really struck with me today. She said, are the Steelers really trying to win? Because let's be candid. If Big Ben, the big debate on Twitter is Big Ben ever going to take another snap? But let's say he does come back. He's a year older. His arm's not going to be stronger, I don't think, after the injury. I mean, what's he got? Maybe 1 Joe Namath at the Rams type season?
Yep.
So if Pittsburgh went 1-15 this year, now, they've never, as an organization, since 1970, it's never been like that, right? I'm not sure how upset I'd be as the fan. So, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you're saying tank for Tua or Justin Herbert?
I'm not saying tank. I'm saying that, and again, I that whole tanking stuff, I just get so, to me, and everyone says it, but it's just loose, you know, because it feels like you're kind of doing something wrong. I think what you do is you play for the future, right? Whenever, to me, what's totally legitimate for any team, trade a player now for 2 picks left. I think the Tunsil trade was one of the best trades we've ever, in the NFL history, to be candid, for Miami. Now, and, you know, in a weird way, you almost get the draft choices you get back in the trade and the draft choice you're going to get this year that's going to be so much better. But I think those players are trying on every team. But if this without Big Ben, if the Steelers do take a perspective of let's get the young guys some time, I'm not so sure that I'm not so sure they win many games. So be something to follow.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at Monday Night Football coming up later on. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
This is a treat. We're going to get to dig in and do an autopsy on irrational exuberance. How a sports bettor can have doom staring him in the face and just keep walking with a smile until the doom hits. So, Fez, you had the Steelers as a pick last Friday.
Yeah, like Pittsburgh.
Who would you say, if you had to bet your life on one pick that involves the Steelers, who would you want to be making that pick?
That would be you, RJ.
Okay. So I listened back to the tape because I just wanted to make sure you were as obstinate as it seemed, as stubborn, as
obstinate,
as recalcitrant as you seemed. All of those. You know any of those, Brad? Recalcitrant?
No.
You want to look it up and we'll read it at the end? Now, I was pleading with you. I said, but what about this, Steve? You go, I don't care. What about that, Steve? I don't care. And then finally, I tried to, like, because you love being sharp. You want to be so sharp. So I appealed to your vanity. So we've got the tape, luckily. So first off, this is me responding to all of the, let's use recalcitrance. Look that up, Brad.
Yeah, it's having an uncooperative attitude toward authority or discipline.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
I went into the mode of like, I'm an authority, and you said, nah. And here was my response. Every half sharp you know is on Pittsburgh,
yes.
Right? And you're right there with them.
I've got double duct tape on me, yes.
That's called the green button. It's green, and it makes this sound, and it's a button. And that means whenever someone makes a pick around the wise guy table here in Vegas, anyone else can bet it. In fact, I've just bet it. It's $100 auto bet, no VIG, so we only do the 100, but the pride factor. Yes, the pride factor. Okay, now I got to give Brad Power some credit. Up until this point, three years with us?
Yep.
This will be the fourth. And I don't know if you've ever bucked me on the Steelers.
No, I haven't.
And I don't think you've really been all... I think I've always pressed the button on you. I don't know how many times you've pressed it on me.
Probably never.
So after 3 years, he says, I want to get involved. Now I'm thinking, great, great. Fez is going to have both of us against him, just the psychological burden. But no, no, no. We got tape on this too. Let's listen what happened next. Brad, you jumping in?
Can I jump in on you? I'm with Fez.
Go ahead, baby. Bring it on. Perfect.
There you go.
All right. Now here's what's fascinating. Did you hear the laughing at the end? Those two were laughing very nervously. I was laughing free. It was like, oh, I got him in my trap. So I'm going to let you guys quickly, and let's, you know what we're going to do? Let's tease to this. When we come back, we're going to talk Monday Night Football. Jonas promised last week that he's going to have a pick. First one in 11 months. If he has a pick, I'm going to not give mine. But if Jonas passes, I have a best bet tonight.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So we were doing an autopsy live on the air here, RJ, as you were discussing your bet with Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik, who had way too much faith in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you did not.
Well, listen, this is a great lesson. It's fun, no doubt, but it's a great lesson. And here's what it is. If you can remain objective, being a fan is a asset. It's an advantage because you know the team better. But if you're biased against or a homer for, it hurts you. So to me, it's a big advantage. And I'm pretty objective with Pittsburgh. I had a bad feeling about it. Last question, guys, because the country wants to know. I mean, they want to know if Jonas is going to C-block the pick here of me. We'll see, right? But Fez, you said best Steelers handicapper in the world, me, and you bucked me. What's the thinking?
The thinking was that the Steelers and Big Ben would be so much better
wrong
at home. And
so,
also,
so you thought your handicap was superior to mine.
Until the game started. I started watching the game when the Steelers were absolutely inept with the Big Ben, and it was a minor miracle the Steelers had a 3-point lead at halftime, which quickly eroded.
Brad, same question.
I was more of a play against the Seahawks, who I thought were overrated.
But you still know you were bucking me.
I know I was.
But here's the good news, guys. In our business, when you're wrong, you pay. When you're right, you win. I'm going to tweet out a photo. They all pay. We had a separate bet on the podcast, so I've got my 600 in front of me. And I wish I had a video of the grimace when they were handing it over. But that's just for me. That's special.
Well, Steve Fezzik will try and get back into the winner's circle here as Fezzik has a best bet on tonight's game.
All right, Fez, go.
Yeah, I like the Jets plus 6.5. I bet the Jets, and it's all about a market overreaction to Sam Darnold being out. This line was Cleveland minus 2.5. The second that Darnold got reported that he was out with mono, immediately the line went to 6.5, a 4-point adjustment through a key number of NFL 3. RJ, I got to be honest, I was shocked by this move. I only have Trevor Siemian being a 2-point adjustment versus Sam Darnold, so 2.5. to 4.5. I think this line should be 4.5. And if it's 6.5, I will take the value. I bet the Jets plus 6.5.
Okay. When you say if, you're talking just weird. It is 6.5.
It is.
And you took it.
Yes.
So you bet it.
I did.
Now here's the question. I've got a pick on this game too. But if Jonas gives his, now this would be his first pick in 11 months. He was 2-2. He's sitting on a 500 record. What are you doing?
Well, to go 3-2, it's pretty obvious. Odell Beckham has gotten all the attention this week leading up into the game. It's his return to MetLife. He talked trash about Greg Williams, a defensive coordinator for the New York Jets. He bragged about his $250,000 watch, which looks like a Casio from the 1980s. All of that being said, all the attention is going to be on Odell Beckham, and the Jets defense is going to pay a ton of attention to him because of all the things that he has said. I like Jarvis Landry over 4.5 catches in this game. I think he's going to see a lot of one-on-one matchups because of that. Give me Jarvis over 4.5 catches.
Okay, what's the money line on that?
It's minus 125.
Okay, so you didn't mention that. You had to lay the extra lumber?
Yeah, that's all right. I'm confident. All right,
so here's the question. Do you want some action on that?
What kind of action are we talking about?
Well, I'm thinking of fading you.
Okay. Now, I'm not doing this. Okay, here's the thing. I just want you to understand something. I'm more of a $5 chuck. Right? I'll bet $5.
Except he bet $100 when he had the worst of the number by 70 cents. Right, here's what I will say. A couple things. One, I'm going to give my pick. I'm not going to let Jonas ruin it. I got so many texts. Listen, all right. There's love here between me and the audience.
Peace and love.
But here's why I'm skeptical of Jonas's pick at minimum. It's because OBJ and that Jets D-back, right? Or, they had words. Or wait, was it Williams, the DC?
Yeah, the DC.
So when you got words, what's going to happen? One, OBJ is going to be motivated. And number two, it seems like Kitchens is more worried about keeping his stars happy than a typical coach. And as a first-time, first-year coach, kind of makes sense. So my thought is, even if it's not best for the game, for the outcome, they're probably going to get OBJ his catches. And if I had to bet the over, I would be more inclined with the catches. If I had to bet the under, I'd be more inclined with the yards. Here's why. If the Browns are really trying to get him things, they're going to get him short passes. You can't really try to get him a long pass.
Beckham over under 5.5 catches, you like over.
No, what I'm saying is if with the catches, I kind of would be more inclined to the over. If you like the under, like Jonas does, I'd be more inclined to go under in yardage.
82 yards is his number.
Yeah. So does that make sense to you, Jonas?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I look at Jarvis Landry. I think he's had a better career than Odell Beckham. He's got more career catches. He's more durable than Odell Beckham. I just think this is a good spot for him. It is straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. If you missed any of today's show, as we take a look back at what happened this weekend in the NFL and also take a look ahead at Monday Night Football coming up later on, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We will be back tomorrow here, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. Up next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, it is The Odd Couple with Rob Parker and Chris Broussard. Stick it here, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.